All right, take that answer and open it up there, your King James Bible, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 16 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively, Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. Now, while you're turning, listen to me. I am going to preach a little bit of a doctrinal sermon this morning. But it's not a doctrine that, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've heard preached on twice in my entire life. It's not that it's a new doctrine. We just kind of lump it in with other doctrines, and I want to focus on it for a specific purpose today. But Romans chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse number 16 through verse 22. You follow with me responsively. Here we go. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. And let's finish on verse 22 together. Ready? And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you bless us today. Lord, as we open the book and we preach the truths of it, would you please allow the Holy Spirit to teach it to us in a special way? Would you allow me the freedom to speak with your power in a very unnatural way? May I be yielded to you in such a way that you allow your words to flow through my mouth to help these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you'll let me help you this morning, I really believe with all my heart that you will find a truth today that will be refreshing to you. You'll find a truth that will be very revealing to you. And I hate to say this, for some, maybe for many, it will be a truth that you'll actually have to unlearn some bad doctrine to learn. So if you'll listen to me, I'm going to say at times what will appear very harsh, not in a mean way, though I am capable of that. It will be just that it needs said in such a pungent way for you to be able to grasp the depth of this, and I think I can help you today. I want to start by saying this: God is eternal. By the way, God doesn't have many names. It's Jehovah God. It's not Muhammad. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not any other false god. It is Jehovah God, God himself, the creator of the universe. He has always been, and there never has been a time where God has never been. He will always be. There will never be a time where God will never be. Now, if you'll listen to me, that is not true for man-made gods. That is not true for man-made religion. The Catholic Church didn't come on the scene till 313 with Constantine. God has always been. It's not true, now listen to this one, with the Islamic religion, there was no such thing as a Muslim till the 600s. Man has tried forever to explain away God. He used to say that science proved that everything began with a big bang, some big cataclysmic explosion of all of the elements and the eons gone by. By the way, in the last 3 weeks, science has once again changed their opinion and said there was no such thing as a Big Bang. It didn't take place. Everything's just always been here. If they'd have listened to the Bible millenniums ago, we could have told them that. Did you ever notice how science changes? Used to be that eating salt caused high blood pressure. Now they're saying salt doesn't cause high blood pressure. Used to say if you ate this, you'd feel this way. Now they say that's not true. It's amazing how the science changes to meet what man wants it to say. Say, why? Because when they compare it to the Bible, we find out they're wrong. Now, by the way, no matter how much man tries to prove that there is no God, God just keeps proving otherwise. See, man does these things in effort to prove there is no God. Now, man tries to prove that there is no hell. But may I say this, there is a hell. Man tries to say there is no heaven, but may I say this, there is a heaven. Thank God. Amen, Sandy. Last Sunday evening, soon as church was over, Bob called me and said, "Preacher, Dad just passed. Can you get here?" And I ran down the road to the hospice down here. And bless Harry's heart, he had gone to eternity very calmly, very peacefully. And on December 29th, 2009, I was trying to remember the exact year. I remembered the date, but not the year as well. He had climbed into the car with Brother Mike Bagent. Brother Mike climbed into his car and won him to Christ that night. And guess what? Brother Mike was waiting on him when he got there. Amen. Now, hang on here. There is a real place called heaven, but there's also a real place called hell. Just this last week in the news, in the last 2 weeks, I should say, they have decided that the earth's core is not what they first thought it was. They used to think that the earth's core was solid liquid metal. They have found out that earth has a hollow core. It has temperatures that exceed that of the surface of the sun. And they said it's hollow. They've also said that if there were a way to be there, that you would turn in that hollow core with it and tumble forever. There would be no actual touching because the magnetic forces of the field, you would actually be falling forever even though you were in a confined space. Sounds like hell to me, especially when God said it's in the heart of the earth. Amen. They just read their Bible, they would know that that's the way it is. Now, Jehovah created it all. We're not going to teach God something about creation, and he is the one who made it all. Now, here's where we're going to transition. Because God is eternal, he does not think in time like man does. Let me say that again. Because God has always been, and because God will always be, God is not bound by time. And God does not think in time like you and I do. For instance, in about 45 minutes, your stomach's going to say, it's lunchtime. Say, well, not mine. I can hear them gurgling from up here. Trust me. I've been around long enough. God does not think in time like we do. Let's see. Brother Brining, today is your birthday. That is 76. Am I right? You don't remember. 96? Mrs. Brining shaking her head on that one. I think it's 76 if I'm not mistaken. And we measure his life in, he's had 76, 365 and one quarter day segments throughout his life. Now, wait a minute. We measure that as the distance of life when actually it's really a measure of death. He's 76 years closer to going to heaven, amen? That's not a real encouraging thought. But we have to understand something. Did you know that God said a day with him is as a thousand years to man? In other words, Brother Brining has lived but an hour or less with God's timing. I mean, he just barely hatched, amen? You have to understand something. God does not think in time like you and I, because he is eternal. He is not bound by time. Now, I'm also going to make a statement here, and this is the whole key to the sermon that I want you to get. Did you know that when God sees something, or when God thinks something, because he's eternal, from the moment he saw it or the moment he thought it, in his mind, it's done? Because he is eternal. You see, in his mind, when he saw man being created, it was done. That's why God said, when he saw it, it was good. It pleased him. Now, in other words, if God says it, or if God sees it, it's as good as done. Now, I'm about to shout, amen. God sees what he plans to do in the future as though it is already done. Look at your Bible again, Romans chapter 4. I want you to see what God said here. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He said, now, those things which are present tense are not like those things which were, because in his timing, everything is present tense. He sees it now. Now, listen to me very carefully. God sees what is not yet as an actual reality. In other words, my future is already past or done with God. Did you know my future has already been planned by God, and he knows what the end is before I do? Thank God. Sandy, did you know God saw before Sunday, long before Dad was sick, when he was coming to heaven? God knew. God knew exactly how it was going to take place. You see, how is that? Because God is eternal. God is eternal. Now, God is not bound by time like we humans. This is why man cannot understand God. We have to trust God. Folks, humanism means man becomes his own God. And may I say this? Man becomes a pretty lousy God. We're sinners. We're temporary. And even the best of us are still sinners. And may I say this, we are bound by time. And when we try to explain God in human terminology, we fail miserably. We do. I have been preaching for 34 years. And may I say this, I will fail to effectively tell you exactly what God is. Say why? Because I am bound by time, I'm bound by sin, I am bound by human mentality, just like everybody else is, and I cannot do him justice. Now, I'm going to unteach something that I need you to listen to very carefully here. This is why what the world and the liberals call dispensationalism is wicked, evil, wrong doctrine. Dispensationalism means this: God works in this way in this time, and God works in this way in this time, and God works in this way in this time, and God works in different time periods, different ways. When you say that, you deny the eternalness of God. There is no such thing, listen to this statement, as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's dispensationalism. People did not get saved in the Old Testament by keeping the law. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you find out by faith Abel, by faith Adam, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses. They were all saved by grace through faith. Now, the only difference is, in God's mind, Calvary had already happened because Jesus authored and finished our faith. Amen. By the way, that was before he did it.
Yes, sir.
And because he was God, it was already done in the mind of God. And in the Old Testament, they looked ahead to Calvary. In the New Testament, we look back at Calvary. That is the only difference, my friend, between salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament. Well, what about all of the sacrifices? In the Old Testament, because he had not yet come, it was a foretelling. They made things a bit more dramatic, so it made more of an impact. But the Old Testament practice of sacrifices is exactly the same as the New Testament Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. It's the same. See, we don't have to do the sacrifices anymore because Jesus already came and took care of it. Those were all pictures of what would happen through Jesus. Now we look back through the Lord's Supper at what he did do for us. And it's the same thing. Guess what? Abraham got saved the same way you did if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friday. At the funeral, Sandy, six people raised their hand and trusted Christ as their Savior. They got saved the same way that Moses got saved, except they looked ahead to Calvary. We now look back at Calvary. And that's why dispensationalism, that's why this thing of different ages, well, we're in the church age. We've always been in the church age. God even said in the book of Hebrews, he called the Jews in the wilderness, he said, the church in the wilderness. That's Old Testament. Everybody doing okay? Well, why is there an Old Testament and why is there a New Testament? It's all the Word of God, just so you know. One was prior to Jesus coming. The other was during his time and after he left. That's the only difference. And by the way, God saw the end at the beginning, so it was as good as done. By the way, dispensationalism is man trying to describe God in man's timing. Did you catch that? Dispensationalism is man trying to describe God in man's timing. That's why it's wrong. Well, there are seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, and they represent the seven different church ages. That is poppycock, tomfoolery, and some idiot that's got more time than has spent time out soul winning. Those were seven actual local churches, and I'll get into that tonight, just so you know. Those were seven local churches that God was using as examples. Those were not church ages. Just so you know, that was written before 100 AD. There was no such thing as church ages. Everybody doing okay? All right, here we go. Did you know God called Abraham the father of a mighty nation 60 to 70 years before Isaac was born? In other words, God said, Abraham, you're going to father a great nation, my people, the father of the Jews. And he said, you are going to be the father of a great nation. By the way, it was 60 to 70 years before Isaac was born. Matter of fact, Sarah didn't get pregnant till she was 90 years old and Abraham was 100. There's still hope for you, Brother Mrs. Brining. Leslie's looking for a little sister, amen? Now, wait a minute. Let's face it. You say, well, that's well past childbearing days. Yeah, buddy. And I wouldn't want any more myself at my age, and I'm not even halfway there. But may I say this, God called Abraham the father of a mighty nation. Isaac wasn't born for almost 70 years after God called him that. Now, wait a minute. Do you remember the story in the book of Judges when God came to Gideon to attack the Midianite army? God came to Gideon and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Look at me. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press that his father had. He was hiding in fear from the Midianites. He wasn't real courageous, just so you know. But God said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Gideon had done nothing of valor to that point, but in God's mind, he saw the end at the beginning. It was already done in God's eyes. He was just trying to get Gideon to do what God had planned. Now, if you went to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, this is the last illustration of this I'll give, and we're going to move forward. But God said to Jeremiah, "I knew thee before I formed thee in the belly." He said, "I saw your life before you were ever conceived in your mother's belly." Ooh. He said, matter of fact, he said, "I knew thee." Past tense. Say why? Because God is eternal. And he sees the end before the beginning. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. This could be a little harsh, but it'll help you understand what's going on in our world today. This is why the nation of Islam, the Muslim religion, the Islamic religion, hates God so much. Now listen to me. I'm not looking to become a target, but I realize I set myself up as a target. But I've got to tell you the truth. Ishmael was born before Isaac. Ishmael was the son of Abraham and Hagar, an Egyptian handmaid. Sarah and Abraham got impatient with God, and Abraham and Sarah got together, and Sarah said, "Look, I'm past beyond, way beyond bearing children. God's going to need our help." Humanism. "Why don't you take Hagar, have a child with her, and that must be the way God's going to provide a great and mighty nation." Just so you know, they did. But that child wasn't the promised seed of God. By the way, their founder is Ishmael. Ishmael is the founder of the Islamic or the Muslim relation, the religion. That is why there's trouble between the Palestinians and the Jews. The Palestinians are the descendants of Ishmael. He was born first. They believe birthright should have been his, but it wasn't God's child. God's plan was Isaac, and that was God's chosen people. By the way, all of the conflict we have in the Middle East, in North Africa, right now, is because Abraham and Sarah disobeyed God. Now listen to me very carefully. This jihad against Christians, and I'll use that term loosely, is over this. It is over the fact that Ishmael did not receive the promise of God, but Isaac did. They had to invent a new God. They called him Allah. By the way, the Quran did not come into existence till a little after 600 AD. Now listen to this. The prophet Muhammad did not read and did not write, but they came out with the Quran. Everybody doing okay? You can look anywhere you want. You'll find out the prophet Muhammad did not read or write until clear up to the day he died. But he is supposed to be the giver of the Quran. By the way, that's why it is a corrupt religion, because it's man's words, not God's words. You see, God, Jehovah, is eternal and does not try to extinguish those that differ with him. The Muslims, the Islamists, if you disagree with them, their answer is kill the infidel. By the way, that is printed in the Quran. As long as you agree that Allah, by the way, In the Quran, it says that any infidel who does not claim Allah as God should be killed. Well, I hate to tell you, Allah is not God. The Prophet Muhammad was a false prophet, and I'm not afraid to say that. Say why? He didn't come on the scene till after 600 years after Christ. By the way, Christianity goes back far before the coming of Christ. Thousands of years. By the way, this is another reason, because God is eternal, that the word of God was not written to the Jew only. I have a real problem with people that say the Bible was only written to the Jew. I have a real problem with that. God is eternal. God said to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Say why? Because that's how he got it out. It was given through the Jewish nation because those are God's chosen people. But it wasn't written just to the Jew, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? You better thank God it wasn't written just to the Jew. Now, by the way, people that believe that, if they would read Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, we won't take time to read there. Did you know that God gave some of the word of God through Abraham, watch this, before he was circumcised as a Jew? That's why you'll find out in Romans 4, verses 9 through 13, it talks about circumcision and uncircumcision and how that the promise was made before circumcision. Now, those of you that don't understand what that is, talk to your mommy and daddy. I'm not explaining it. Now, today I want to show you how wonderful this doctrine of God's eternalness is. Number one, salvation is eternal because it's based on him and not based on us. Did you know that you can know for sure you're going to heaven and it's not based on you? It's based on God. Now, if you ever wanted to shout, this is the time. Brother Gus, did you know that once a person gets saved, they can do nothing to be unsaved? Because in the eternalness of God, the moment you do what he said, it's done. And it can't be undone. Because it's not based on you, it's based on him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now watch this. He's not willing. We just have to be willing to accept what he said gets us there. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. It's not living a good life. Those are all things we do. But trusting Jesus Christ and what he did to pay for your sin debt for you, the moment you receive that, God says, hot diggity dog, it's done. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Watch this. He not only authored it, he finished it. And because God saw that Jesus would do this, watch this, that's why the people in the Old Testament got saved the same way you and I did, because God said he was going to do it and it was done in his mind. We think because man's limited to time that people had to be saved a different way before Jesus came. That's man's thinking, not God's thinking. God authored it and finished it. He didn't say people got saved under the Abrahamic covenant one way and the Mosaic covenant another way and through the times of the prophets another way and through the intertestamentary times another way and during the life of Christ another way and after the resurrection another way. Stupid. I am the Lord God. I change not. Hello. Jesus Christ, the same, watch this, yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God is the same because he sees the end before the beginning thereof, according to the Bible. Watch this. And that means whoever does what he says in his mind, it's done. By the way, watch this. Brother, Harry, that's why God doesn't see your sin after you get saved. Past, present, or future. Boy, you better be glad too. Let's face it. The moment you get saved, that's why Romans chapter 8 there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you why? Because God sees that you are saved on your way to heaven. He imputed the righteousness of Christ to your account. Watch this. And in his mind's eye, because you got saved, the sin never even took place. It's not even there. It doesn't give you a license to go out and sin, and you will pay a price here on earth for it. But may I say this, you will never be judged for your sins if you are saved. When you go to heaven, God's not going to put a giant screen TV up and show everybody in heaven all the bad things you did. That's the 1970s Jack Van Impe preaching, and it's wrong. Just so you know. You say, why? Because when you get there, he's going to say, what sin? It's under the blood. The only thing I see on your account is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Say, well, then what are we Christians going to be judged for? We're not going to be judged. We're going to be given our final rewards. Did you know when your daddy got to heaven, he didn't have all his rewards? Say, why? Because after he got to heaven, about 5 days after he went to heaven, people were getting saved because of her daddy. Guess what? He's getting more rewards. He's getting more rewards. And the rewards aren't done. His life lives on through those he influenced. Watch this, the same way it does for you and me. And not until we get to heaven and the rapture takes place is all of that done. Did you know that people who influenced my life are still gaining rewards because of the way they influenced my life? About 43 years ago, a one-legged Vietnam vet stood in a primary church service in Canton, Ohio, second floor, Canton Baptist Temple. Now, he didn't have one of those fancy prosthetic legs. 40-some years ago, they didn't have those. He literally had a Captain Hook peg leg. I mean, just a straight post. Amen, Brother Brining? And he was kind of scary looking. He was a large man. He wasn't quite the size of Brother Jimmy, but if you put them together, they could have been brothers. And he had a wooden leg. And he got up and preached on hell one day in primary church and scared the devil out of me. So I don't think you should have done that. I didn't. He did, but it worked. Amen. I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's skirt and I said, I don't want to die and go to a place like that. And we knelt down at a little kindergartner style chair off to the side there. And she said, Craig, do you realize you're a sinner? I said, I do now. And I said, and because I'm a sinner, I don't want to go to a place like that. And she said, you don't have to. And she showed me how to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Guess what? I'm on my way. I was born again. Did you know that on May 23rd, 1967, I was hatched to my mom and dad? I was born. That is the day I was birthed, about 7:16 at night. And I was just like every other baby, ugly, good night, hairy, red, and squiggly. Amen. You ladies, God bless you. You can look at a baby. Oh, how beautiful. There ain't no beautiful baby newborn in the world. That is the ugliest thing since mud. What are you laughing at, Bob? You didn't change a whole lot, just more hair on the face, not on top. Now, wait a minute. To me, a baby's ugly. We had three of them. My wife, oh, they're so... don't say that. I'm not going to lie. Now, I'll lie to you ladies when you have your babies. Oh, isn't he so cute? No, he's not. Well, he looks like his father. Lord have mercy. Poor kid. Oh, she looks just like her mother. Thank God, but She ain't looking like that, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. I was born to my mom and dad. Guess what? I've not always pleased my mom and dad. Yes, Brother Harry. I can tell you some things that didn't please them. I got to laughing with my wife this week. My hip was hurting so bad. I said, honey, I can't hardly sit through a meal. These chairs hurt. She said, well, go get a pillow. I said, why don't we get some cushions? She said, I'm not sure I can trust you with them. As a kid, I used to hide food under the cushions, and most of the time I got it before my mom and dad found it, but not always. I said, honey, I don't have to eat anything I don't want. I'm not hiding it. I just throw it in a stupid trash can. I said, get them things. That's hurting, amen? Oh, wait a minute. Did you realize that my salvation is not based on what I did other than trusting Jesus Christ? I am kept forever. Just like no matter what I do, I can't be unborn from my mama and my daddy. Doesn't matter how good, how bad, how indifferent, I am still on my way to heaven. By the way, this is why you can't lose your salvation. Did you know the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are born again. Your spirit was regened, regeneticed, regeneticized. It got the eternal genetics of God, and the Holy Spirit ignited with your spirit and rebirthed it. Watch this. And God doesn't die. He's eternal. That means the moment you were born again, God saw you from eternity past doing that, and that's why your sin is cared for, past, present, and future, because of Him. By the way, Jesus authored the plan of salvation before man was created. He was the author and finisher of our faith before creation, before the foundation of the world. Guess what? In God's mind, it was done no matter what. Now, listen to me. Number two, I got to hurry. The Bible is eternal because they're the words of God, not man's words. Let me say that again. The Bible, the word of God, is eternal because it's God's words, not man's words. You're going to notice something different about this preacher. I didn't say, Paul said in the book of Romans. Paul didn't say it, God said it. John didn't say in the book of John, those are God's words, not man's words. Everybody doing all right? Man got to be the penman, but man did not speak those words. God spoke those words. When Jesus was doing battle with the devil, watch this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now watch this. When the devil was tempting Satan, Jesus said, scripture says. Scripture says. It is written. By the way, it wasn't the originals either. Jesus answered the devil this way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of man? Uh-oh. That means God spoke. He inspired. He gave life-giving words through his mouth. And man cannot live. He called them scripture. That's why it's inspired as well as preserved. The inspiration of God was him speaking those words. Man simply wrote down what God said, period. Boy, I love it. Jesus, listen to this statement. Jesus did not die to make us God. He died to make us man again. Man is body, soul, and spirit. But lost man has a dead spirit that needs born again. So a lost man is simply body and soul. That's why man acts like animal. That's why lost man will accept evolution because he believes he's only another animal. Man is not a mammal. He is a man. You are not like a monkey, though some may act like it from time to time. You did not come from a monkey, nor do you have the same genetics as a monkey. Nor does a monkey have the same genetics as you. Man's genetics are entirely different than any animal on the face of the earth. Period. Did you know you don't have cow-like genetics? Now, there are some similarities, but man is not a mammal, just so you know. Man is man. There are some animals smarter than others. Sometimes I'm not sure if my puppy dog is smart or stupid, but we're getting there, amen? And there are other animals that can do certain things, but may I say this, not all of them do the same thing, just like not all humans are as smart as others. And there are some that think they're smart that are dumber than the ones that don't know they're smart. It's amazing how the smartest people in the world can be congregated in Washington, D.C., and we got bigger problems than we've ever had. Oh, just trust me, just trust me, just trust me. Why? You see, Jesus did not die to make you God. He died to make you man again. When you become man again, you have trusted Jesus Christ and you are now body, soul, and spirit. Watch this. When man sinned, he didn't fall to becoming man. He fell to becoming animal. His spirit died. That's why man began acting like animals, killing each other. Everybody doing all right? Oh, our society is so bad. Can't believe. Well, the farther we get from God, the worse it gets. Did you ever notice the closer to God, the better it gets? Can I tell you why? Because then you start elevating manhood to where it's supposed to be. And I mean that man and woman, mankind, whatever you want to say. But it took Jesus paying that price. But may I say this? God said, as is in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's not yet quite as bad as it was in the days of Noah. Everybody doing all right? The word of God is eternal. These are God's words. These are not man's words. That's why, listen to this statement, that's why the King James Bible should not be messed with. Man started rewriting the Bible instead of living the one we had. The NIV, the RSV, the New King James, the Bible for the Sodomites, the HIV Bible, the whatever you want to call them, all the different perversions of the Bible were man's writings and man's interpretations. This is not man's writings. These are God's words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or man cannot live. Period. Now, so we have salvation that's eternal. We have a word of God. By the way, you say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And we find out in verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God. Matter of fact, you go to the book of Revelation, you find out when he comes back at Armageddon, he's coming back riding on a white horse as we follow. And the Bible says written on his vesture is his name, the word of God. Don't mess with the word of God. That's messing with Jesus. And when man starts rewriting Jesus, we have problems. Next, heaven and hell are forever. Heaven and hell are forever. Last Sunday night, Sandy, your daddy took his last breath here. And as he was sitting in that chair with his head down, struggling for life, and he went, here? When he went, on that last breath here, guess what? He opened his eyes in a place called heaven. And boy, he was sucking air like he had never had before. Whew. Can I tell you something? Heaven is a real place. We have believed Hollywood too long that heaven is some place in the clouds, sitting around sprinkling fairy dust everywhere, and we're just floating along, and oh, everything's calm and peaceful, and everybody's got harps, and we're just singing kumbaya everywhere. Folks, heaven is a real place. Say, how do you know? Because Jesus has been there. Watch me. John chapter 14, verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. He speaks with authority, not because of the word of God only, but because he had already been there. Jesus himself spoke of it as a place. By the way, I don't care what Mr. Schofield and what the liberals tell you, that word many mansions does not mean many rooms. It's not a big condo complex. It's not a big apartment complex. It is a place. Did you know that God is very consistent? I heard some preacher get up and say, well, I believe heaven is a perfect cube. It is four square. That's the only way, because it talks about a city that is four square. Did you know you can get the same dimensions out of a sphere? And every planet God ever created is spherical. There's no beginning, no end. Hello, I believe heaven is a real planet, just like Earth is a real planet. Well, we haven't found it yet. Man thinks he's so smart that he can find everything. Guess what? There's a God that made us that can hide it from us, just so you know. I believe heaven is a real place, just like Earth is a real place. Pardon me. Sandy's daddy was a dump truck driver. He drove dump truck for 35, 40 years at least. My funeral message was God's dump truck driver. Say, why'd you say that? Because the Bible says that Jesus goes to prepare a place, and I think God needed another truck driver up there to build some more mansions. You say, why? Because we've had about 1,500 people saved here at Grace Baptist Church, and he needed some more buildings built up there, amen? And when you build a building, there's got to be some dirt moved. You believe that? You can believe what you want, but I know this, it's a real place. We're going to have real jobs there. There's going to be things for us to do. You're not going to sit on the cloud sprinkling spoofle dust playing a harp the rest of eternity. Just so you know, heaven is a real place. It talks about streets. It talks about gates. It talks about an atmosphere. It talks about buildings. It talks about people. It talks about many different things, just like we have here on earth. I believe we'll be working in heaven because God said man should not eat unless he works, and we are going to be eating in heaven. And for him to be consistent and just, we must be working. Boy, that's going to make a lot of people mad when they get there. Yeah, there's no welfare check in heaven, amen? We don't have to worry about our president being there anyway. Would to God somebody could get the gospel to him that he would get saved. Next, hell is just as real as heaven, though. Hell is just as real as heaven. By the way, God did not make hell for man. The Bible says that God created hell for the devil and his angels. Satan and his followers fell before the creation of man. Watch this. And God made hell in the heart of the earth before man was created. Now watch this. Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You're an intruder if you go. God made you to live forever. And he gave us Jesus Christ. He did not give Jesus to Satan and to the angels that followed him. God loved man so much. He loved you more than Satan himself. And God said, I'll give you a way out of it, but my justice requires the same punishment for sin because man had the same sin as Satan had. And if you go there, you'll be intruding because God did not make it for you. God made it for the devil. But may I say this, people die and go to hell daily. Oh, how sad. God's justice requires it, but God did not want it. Jesus came, so you did not have to. But may I say this? Before you were created, Jesus said, look, God, if man messes up like the devil did, let's have a plan and action so we don't have to come up with one. That's why when man sinned first, in Genesis chapter 3, there was already a plan of salvation enacted. He didn't have to think one up on the fly. It was immediate. Did you notice? When man sinned, he tried to hide himself, and then he tried to cover himself with leaves. God said, that's not going to do. That's your way. It's going to require blood. It's already been written. God shed the blood of animals and gave them coats of skin to totally cover them. And it wasn't temporary, it was long term. And it was a picture of what Jesus would do for them. And at that very day they sinned, they got saved, I believe. Wow. Heaven's real. Hell is real. The Bible's eternal. And may I say this, your salvation is eternal. Can I tell you something? Let's quit trying to bring God down to man. Let's bring man up to God. Let's try to quit figure out God man's way, and let's try to figure out God God's way. Brother Bob, not one verse in that book ever says that God said we're supposed to understand him. You know why? We can't. I can show you hundreds and probably thousands that say, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. Folks, I'd rather trust Jehovah God than any human being any day. I love my wife. I trust my wife as much as a human can trust a human. But may I say this, my wife is a human like anybody else, and I'd rather trust God than anybody. Now, I trust her most of the time. No, I trust her, but I trust God. Preachers are funny creatures. Shut up. Days like this can get a preacher a little out of sorts. It really can. If I thought about it long enough, I could get upset with some people that didn't go to church. Somebody texted me today and said, boy, they're closing churches all over town. Glad our church isn't closed. Somebody said, doesn't that bother you? They're closing their churches. I said, no, the only thing that bothers me is they're going to open them back up. I'm not in competition, but if it doesn't mean enough to him to open up the church, why have it? This is eternal work. This is God's work, not my work. Now watch this. I could get a little discouraged. I texted my wife because I left real early this morning. I left the house by no later than a few minutes before 5 this morning. I got here. I waited till I knew she was up and moving around, and I said, going to be a great day. She said, I know it could be a little low. I said, it's okay. I've already resolved that fact. If it's not, and by the way, I'm happy with everything that came out. Amen. We're only about half power, but guess what? That's half the devil didn't get. Doesn't bother me a bit. Can I tell you why? Because this is his work. It's eternal work. My friend, Brother Walter's up in Maine. He's about 7 o'clock this morning, he texted me and said, I just got done shuffling. I'm going back to bed. Now, he's got about 6 foot of snow on the ground, and it's 20 below zero. God bless him. I said, I just got done shoveling, too, the sidewalk. But my sidewalk's 300 feet long, amen? You ought to shovel the sidewalk across this building once. It'll do something to you. I said, a little bit later, he texted me back. He said, Brother Bush, I'm sorry I was griping. He said, I shouldn't have been griping. He said, I get to preach the eternal word of God to God's people. I'm called of God doing what I'm supposed to do. And I said, brother, I didn't take it as complaining. I took it as somebody that loves people enough that he wished the devil wouldn't have done what he did to keep people from being there. He wasn't griping. Well, he was about shoveling, but he wasn't griping about that as much as he was. He just was mad that people wouldn't show up to church because of the weather. And I could get mad that way too, but guess what? I can't change who's not here, but we can sure preach the truth to those that are. I haven't preached with any less vigor than I normally preach. I don't have an axe to grind with anybody. I'm not upset with anybody. I have no, somebody didn't show up. Okay, they didn't feel it was safe. That's fine. I'm good with that. May I say this, though? God didn't change. God is eternal. Did you know that the invention of the automobile didn't surprise God? Did you know the invention of the computer didn't surprise God? Did you know that the invention of the cell phone didn't surprise God? Man thinks he's so smart. God had it down before you did. We're just discovering it. He knew what it was. I could take you to places in the scripture that, in my opinion, show us the automobile. Bible talks about them being jostled in the streets in carts that had no horses. Hello. You never drove in Martinsburg till you've been jostled a little while, amen? Now, wait a minute. God knows all. He saw it from the beginning, before there ever was a beginning. Huh. I'm glad I have a God I can't figure everything out. I'm glad my God didn't come along 600 years ago. He's always been. All these other gods are man-made. Notice how late they came on the scene. Ours goes back before the creation of the world. Just so you know. You got a great God. There's a great heaven. There's a great word of God. And there is a hell. And the only way to miss it is to have a great salvation, which was provided by himself. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is eternal. God wants to make sure that you know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven? Would you raise your hand? All right. Parents, watch the littler ones. We'll be sensitive. But maybe you just need to come to this altar in a moment and thank God for his eternalness. Your problem looks so big. Can I tell you something? In comparison to eternity, it's nothing. The load seems so heavy, but in comparison to eternity, it's nothing. It really is.